Well, the Lord has gathered us here to spend the day delighting in Him. Isaiah called the Sabbath day the day for delight, and you go and you saturate yourself in the delights of God by, you know, not using your own words, not doing your own ways, but meditating on the greatness of His name. And so I pray God gives us a Sabbath day that really is a day for delight. And we have so much to delight in. We have such a kind Father. We have such a gentle Shepherd. We have such a comforting Spirit, a Holy Spirit to come. There is just so much to rejoice in. And I want to, in this brief exhortation here at the beginning, to just direct us to what a good Shepherd God is. And we've been talking about fatherhood and sonship, and it's you can't really think about earthly fathers and earthly sons without first of all thinking about God the Father and His shepherding. God is a shepherd, and God is a shepherd to teach His earthly shepherds how to shepherd. And He is our model for shepherding. And, you know, I love the way that Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah 40, verse 11, where he speaks of God as a shepherd. And he says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. This is your Father, and He cares for you. You know, one of the wonderful parts of that phrase is that He says that He gently leads those who are with young. And I think that probably could be interpreted in a number of different ways. But here's one thing that I think that every husband who's leading a wife needs to recognize, is that God leads those who are with young gently. I think that would be your wives. Your wives have young. You know, in fact, I just kissed a little baby right up here. And there's a mom with young right there, very young. And, you know, God, He's such a gentle shepherd. And He leads those who are with young gently. You know, we've been talking about, you know, fatherhood and sonship. And we talked about a gentle answer, turning away wrath and the compassion of God the Father. But it's so critical that we understand that we have a pattern in God. And He gently leads those who are with young. And so should we. As husbands, lead those who are with young gently. Another critical aspect of God's fatherhood is that He leads His flock in a direction. He's out in front of His flock. He leads by His word. And He's actually conceived of the beginning all the way to the end. He's planned it out. He's actually choreographed every moment in history for His own glory. And fathers should take that to heart and say, it's my calling in life to lead all the moments of life in my family so for the glory of God, so that I choreograph this life in a way that brings glory to God, and that I'm always leading my little flock to the best pasture. I'm always leading them to the clearest and sweetest water. I'm always leading them to the very best locations for their nourishment and their health. This is what a good father does. But a father can only do that if he's out in front. If he's conceived of where he's going, he's laid out the pathway. That's what God has done, by the way. He has shown you the path of life. He's leading you along a path of life. And there isn't one nanosecond of your life that He hasn't choreographed. It's remarkable. And of course, earthly fathers are not sovereign like God the Father is sovereign. But they still have this quality of one who leads from the beginning to the end, and he must conceive what that end is and how to get there. Because good shepherds always lead from the front. They don't drive from the rear. And, you know, maybe you heard that story of that tour guide in Israel who was driving along with the people in his bus, and they passed a flock of sheep, and the tour guide pointed out, he said, "Do you see that shepherd? He's leading from the front. shepherds always lead from the front. Notice that. And then the tour bus went on. And then they passed another flock of sheep. But strangely enough, the shepherd was behind the sheep. And the sheep were going in front of the shepherd. And so the people in the tour bus said, sir, you just told us that good shepherds just always lead from the front. And they never lead from behind. What about that guy? So he ordered the bus to stop. And the bus stopped, and the man got out, and he went over, and he went and talked to that shepherd, and they had a conversation, a back and forth, and everybody on the bus was wondering what they were talking about, and the tour guide came back onto the bus, and they said, well, so what did he say? And the tour guide said, well, he's the butcher. And, you know, shepherds lead, they do lead from the front. This is what God the Father does. He leads from the front, and they take their flocks in a direction. And this is one of the most critical factors for fathers. They need to know where they are going, and they need to be providing an agenda big enough to take everybody there. But here's a problem that happens in so many fathers. Their agenda is so weak, it's so unclear, that the children, they don't have enough. Because their father is not providing an agenda enough. So the children get in front of the shepherd. And this particularly happens when children get older. They get in front and they start leading the family. And they start leading the family in directions not where the very best water is and not the very best grass is. And they typically lead their families into this great and massive, you know, entertainment and sports industrial complex so that they end up diffusing their energies into games and things like that. That's basically what happens. And it leads them into relationships with the foolish and things like that rather than a really productive life that really has its definition in the kingdom of God. And so it's always a danger, particularly when your children get older. It's a lot easier when they're little, but boy, when they turn 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, it gets more difficult. And that's one of the most critical transitions a father needs to anticipate, that there will be a time when his children will want to get in front of him. And he has to be very careful. Now, you know, one of the things that actually happened in our family is that my children ended up in a place where they could do anything they wanted. And they could do anything they wanted because their affections were good. Now, if their affections were bad, they couldn't do anything they wanted. But my daughter has a joke, you know, in our house. I can do whatever I want, you know, and she holds that over the other children. Well, the other children also reached that place too. They reached the place where they could do whatever they wanted. But the only reason they could do whatever they wanted is because what they wanted to do is good, right? And I pray that God gives that to all of you. But make sure you understand that somebody's going to try to get in front of you at some time, probably in your life, in your family. And you got to figure out how you're going to walk through that transition because it can cause tremendous difficulty. And what Christian fathers are designed to do is to create a distinctive Christian culture in their family. And that culture is carried out into the church, and that culture is carried out into the world. It's a family is a little kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom for the glory of God. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of productivity. It's a kingdom of economy. It's a kingdom of heaven. And fathers just have to make sure that they are walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's what Paul told the Ephesian church. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. In other words, a father is one who's redeeming the time. Paul uses this word circumspectly with precision. And the word circumspect in the Greek language, it's actually a picture. And it pictures walking. That's why he says walk circumspectly. Now, I don't know if any of you have cows. Have you ever walked through a cow pasture? Now, when you're walking through a cow pasture, you ought to walk circumspectly. And to walk circumspectly is to be very careful about where you put your feet when you're walking. And fathers have to be very careful about where they put their feet while they're walking. To walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You know, there's a story about not quite a decade ago from out of Turkey, in Aksum, Turkey, where there were 1,500 sheep walked right over a cliff one at a time. It's really a remarkable story. It happened in the year 2009. And so hundreds of these sheep were found dead at the bottom of the cliff, but they all walked off one at a time. But all the sheep, only 450 of the 1,500 sheep died because, you know, sheep are soft. So not everybody died, but they all went over one by one, okay? And you know, shepherds need to make sure that their children are not following everybody else off the cliff one by one, and they will. Shepherds are designed by God to stand in the way of the cliff and not to lead in that direction, to lead the other direction. You know, some sheep want to get really close to the cliff, and then one goes, and then another goes, and then another goes. Shepherds need to make very sure that they do not allow their families to follow the crowd of this world. And make sure that you are out in front of your sheep. Because a good shepherd actually does lead from the front. And he designs the beginning from the end. And one of the great joys of being a father is to be involved in the design. You know, you young boys that are here, pay attention to what I'm going to say right now. One of the most joyful, happy, wonderful things that you'll get to do is you'll get to design a future. You'll get to create a world. And if you create it according to the kingdom of heaven, you will have so much fun. It will be glorious. I wanted to say it'll be a real kick in the pants, but I thought maybe on Sunday morning it probably wasn't the best thing to say. But, you know, God does bless those who fear him. He anoints them. And he always does it. So, follow such a good shepherd. Now, would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we praise you for being such a good shepherd. You, Father, are such a kind Father. And you have been so good to us. And you've laid out your glory everywhere. We can't look anywhere without some manifestation of your glory. And even at this moment today, if we open our eyes, we can see some type of heaven. And we praise you for the doors and the bread and the sky and the grass, all these things pointing to your glory and how good you are. We, oh Lord, are such a blessed people to live under your great sky and to be cared for by such a kind Father who has designed the beginning from the end, where not one hair falls from the head, where you keep all of our tears in the bottle, where you mark out our steps before we take them. You know our thoughts before we have them. You, O Lord, have protected us. You've cared for us. You've drawn near to sinners, and we praise you, O Lord, for your kindness toward us. And you have fed us. You have clothed us. You have surrounded us with loving kindness. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. And to forget none of his benefits, I pray, O Lord, that today you would give us such a sense of your benefits, that it would be such a day for delight, meditating on all of your works, all of your ways, not our own. And Lord, we recognize the sinfulness of our souls, how our hearts are inclined toward foolish and unprofitable things, how our minds wander, how we lose a sense of our priorities, how we have to come back after you've warned us so many times, but you so carefully and consistently bring us back. You bring us back to your word and you restore us again. Lord, we praise you for your mercy toward sinners, because we've not handled our time the way that we ought to. We have not been fathers like we ought to have been. We've not been husbands. We've not been sons. We've not been daughters. We've not been mothers according to your perfect and beautiful pattern. But, oh Lord, we see how good that pattern is. We want it. We hear your voice. We want to follow you, oh Lord. And so we so thank you. We thank you for constantly bringing us back. And even this morning, the things that will happen in the next hour as Kevin brings your word, Oh, Lord, that you would help us to drink in every word, that we would find ourselves stilled and quieted in our souls, hungry, grasping every morsel off the ground that fell off the table. Oh, Lord, that you would feed us again and that you would give us such hearts within us so that we might understand your will. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We're here to praise you. We're here to confess our sins. We're here to come before you with thanksgiving. We're here to be honest with you and lay our hearts bare before you. We're here to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Oh, Lord, do such a thing in us today. Lord, you are such a kind Father. We praise you.